What causes a peaceful protest to turn violent? And does non-peaceful protest serve any useful purpose? The language we use in describing civil unrest and the precision of that language is important. WUGA's Gemma DiCarlo has this report.
Over the last week and a half, countless demonstrations have sprung up across the country to protest systemic police brutality against Black Americans. And not all of those demonstrations have been peaceful. Protests from Minneapolis to Atlanta have ended with smashed windows, burned buildings, and spray-painted storefronts in what politicians and media outlets have frequently labeled as riots. But how accurate is that label?
Whenever there is violence in the margin of a protest, then that protest is directly called a riot. And those are different things.
That was Dr. Kaz Muda, the Stanley Wade Shelton Professor of International Affairs at the University of Georgia. He says that the difference is political context.
The purpose of the riot is the vandalism and the violence, rather than the political message. Whereas a protest, often in the margins, will have violence and is then called a riot, but it's not the same.
Here's Dr. K. Chad Clay, director of the Center for the Study of Global Issues at UGA.
In an academic context, we tend to refer to riots as, incidents where crowds larger than 30 to 50 people, damage property or commit violence against other people. Many of the violent protests and incidents we're seeing across the country don't meet that sort of minimum number threshold. Most of the protest actions we're seeing across the country right now are being carried out nonviolently and really wouldn't meet the threshold of what we would call a riot.
Clay says that the main reason peaceful protests turn violent is aggressive policing. Here's why.
One of the key drivers of a turn to sort of violence in anti-government action is repression by the state. So, if it becomes clear that the government police are likely to engage in violence against one's body, the perceived costs of engaging in violence yourself go down, and the perceived benefits of engaging in violence in the form of self-protection from the violence that you're experiencing from the state, those benefits go up.
A protester's experience will also affect the reaction, Muda says, and whether they respond to aggressive policing with violence.
A lot of people who come out to the protest today are used to, repressive policing, but a lot of other people are not. And when you are confronted, for example, with tear gas or with police running at you, you're going to respond in ways that you don't know. So most people will run away, other people will freeze, and some people will get so angry that they stand up and push back to the police.
Especially at these protests, which primarily center around police brutality in Black communities, Clay says that demonstrators are almost certain to react with some level of violence.
So, we're really looking at a picture of a country in which Black people in the United States are constantly not allowed to enjoy their human rights at the same level as white people. And then nonviolent demonstrations against these poor human rights practices are being met also with violent repression on the part of the government.
Whether violence furthers the aims of political demonstrations or detracts from them is a difficult question to answer. Muda says that an unfortunate byproduct of the news cycle is that some demonstrators feel that violence is necessary to be noticed.
Sadly, when you have a large demonstration where people are pretty much very lawful and everything is happening according to the book, many media consider this boring. Whereas if you have a small group which lights some fires and creates chaos, it gets massive attention.
Clay says that while violence is never the answer may feel like a slogan to live by and is certainly one to consider, it can't always be put into practice.
I don't think we can say strictly that nonviolence is the only solution to every single problem. While, on a personal sort of philosophical basis, some of us may abhor violent tactics, I don't think we can ever sort of dismiss them as ineffective.
Ultimately, Muda says that a combination of largely peaceful protests with a small, violent minority has affected systemic change before and might do so again.
It's very rare that pure violence by a minority changes something. But most of the time that violence is related to a larger movement and it puts pressure on politicians to do something about it. And those politicians will prefer to work with the nonviolent parts. And so the violent part will, in a sense, mainstream the nonviolent part of the same movement.
For Athens News Matters, I'm Gemma DiCarlo.